Hi, everybody, and welcome to this Noise Cancelling episode 60. I'm sounding more game show host than I intended to. I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, and I'm joined today by...
Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
Mark Anthony Ramirez, Tech Journalist for Laptop Mag.
Hi, Mark. Nice to have you here.
Oh, good to be here.
I'm glad you were aware what you do. And,
sometimes I wonder.
Don't we all?
Oh, stop it. You know I love you.
So we are here on episode number 60, which is, the more I think about it, a larger number than I intended to ever get to, I think, with this thing. Not intended, but just didn't know how this was going to go. And to think that we got to 60 episodes, which is a complete non-event in terms of, like, it's not 52 a year or it's not 100. I'm quite excited by it. We've got lots to talk about today, so let's crack right in to the standard format, which always begins with the big question. Now, this week, Oculus Quest is hosting a special 2 Chainz performance in VR. So which artist, dead or alive, would you actually want to watch a virtual concert of, and on which device is this week's big question? And Mark, seeing as you're our new guest, it's your first time on the podcast, I'm going to start with you.
Dead or alive, I'd love to see Prince. And alive, I'd like to see Bruno Mars. I like little people who perform. Prince and Bruno Mars are both tiny. And then I could watch it on my iPhone. You know what I mean? Because they're little. They fit right in there. It's like magic. It's the work of wizards.
So I like the fact you've got choice dead or alive to see Prince. And you're thinking, I'd like to watch a dead Prince?
Yeah, a dead Prince. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I want him, because I want to see where the hip injury, whatever, you know what I mean, the injury was, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm just saying, if it's a dead artist, you know, I bring him back to life, it would be Prince. Cool. Living artist, Bruno Mars.
Separate question, who would win in a fight between Prince and Bruno Mars, given the stature is relatively similar?
Oh, my God. Ah, Prince.
I felt Prince. That as well.
Yeah.
Prince was a baller. Yeah. Prince was a baller, yeah.
He'd be a seductive fighter.
Yeah.
Oh. I love it and a fighter.
That was one of his songs, wasn't it?
Was it?
Distract with his sexy.
Yeah, that's my strategy for a lot of things. Doesn't work often. James R.W. Peckham.
Hello. Probably not my act that I want to see most live, but when we're talking about virtual reality, I think that's a little bit different. So I'm going with Daft Punk. Especially after the last few weeks, I feel like having a robot headset on my head to see that as a virtual concert in something like Oculus Quest. Daft Punk made sense there for me. And yeah, one of them's now dead, according to that YouTube video from when they broke up, isn't it? And one of them blew up. So I think that counts as both alive and dead.
I thought that was confusing. I thought, did that happen? Is that real?
Yeah. Not really, no. It was in the fictional universe of Daft Punk.
Where Avril Lavigne is a clone, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Same universe.
Okay, cool. The multiverse theory of Avril Lavigne. Cherie L. Smith, what about you?
I was going to go with Prince, but since Mark went there, I am going to go for Michael Jackson for my dead artist. And for the live artist in VR, I'm going to go for Twofer. I would love to see Sade and Anita Baker.
Oh, I thought you said I need a baker. I was like, for what? Sorry, it took me a while there.
Boo.
Womp, womp.
Sorry, no, that was just true, just me not listening while I was reading the question again. So which would you choose out of those three?
No, like, it'd be a double concert for the living
okay.
one.
Ooh. So like a pre-show, post-show, which one would you go? Mix them together.
Wait.
Who's the main event? Who's the main event in this triple bill, basically?
I think Sade would open, Anita Baker would be, didn't be Anita, didn't be Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
Mike.
Yep. Is that, I feel like, I suppose that went up to the headline, but, you know, some people might have gone home by that point. You know, just traffic's bad, you know, even virtually. So they're just like, I'm just going to,
they're not
just
fans.
Gonna pop off now.
They're not fans then.
Yeah. Nobody leaves. Nobody leaves for Anita Baker. People just sit through it. And then, you know, you got Michael in the back. You know, Michael's going to close out. Forget it. Nobody would ever leave if Michael Jackson was performing. They would be like, you know what? I'll pay the overtime for the babysitter.
And in terms of the tech, Cherie, what would you go for?
I would like to watch that on the Quest because the Quest 2, just on the strength that it's going to be such a long concert that I want to be able to get up and go to the bathroom as needed.
Okay. For some reason, I worried that people would be able to see you the other way around when you said that, because you can move with the tech, but probably be all right.
I mean, if it's not, it's, you know, it is what it is.
It's a quadruple bill suddenly for the concert. Pexy, did you do a tech? I forgot to ask you that section.
I went for the Quest as well. That's the most Daft Punk sort of feeling headset. Maybe a Vive as well, but I'm going to go with the Quest 2 as well.
So I've got two elements to my answer here. My first thought was nothing, never, don't care in VR, because, right, you know, I'm a big champion of VR, love it. For gaming, for that kind of immersive nature, it's cool. But for a live event, you need so many senses working to make it cool. Like, you know, I'm sure we're all tech journalists, we've all probably tried going to an event in virtual reality. It is shit, because you're just like, this is a heavy thing on my head. I'm like, I could just put it on a screen. I don't need to be in this kind of like armor in a pretend auditorium. That's not what I get from this. And adding that into like an actual concert situation where the buzz and the sort of the vibration and anything performance wise, you just need that extra bit. So until headsets get to that point where they can truly immerse you, where there's, you know, smell and, you know, there's just, it's so lightweight that it just transports you to a new world, you know.
Nobody wants smell.
Yeah, that's what I was like, you want smell at a concert? Yeah. No.
When I went to see Jurassic Park when I was 9 years old, my mum was like, this would be great if you could smell as well. I was like, it really would.
Smell? You want to smell that mountain of crap?
It's exactly the bit. That's exactly it. Like, how immersive would that be if you could smell Triceratops poo?
No.
Once you've been a parent, once you've changed diapers, you'll lose that. You'll just be like, no, the hell with that. This is awful.
I've read the books. It's sweet smelling. It's fine. But in terms
okay.
of, if I did have to do it though, I tell you what, you know, and this has absolutely been prefaced by my terrible accidental I need a baker joke, is my granddad, who passed away when I was quite young, he was just like, he took dad jokes to granddad jokes. He was brilliant. He was just constantly cracking like stupid puns, but he wasn't necessarily a very jovial man. Like, it was like just out of the nowhere he would just throw these in, and I, you know, loved him to pieces. He was brilliant. I'd love to watch him in stand-up, just like on a virtual event, just to be like, right, what's your true comedic style here, granddad? Because I want to find out, you know, where you what can you do with the full power on. So I'd love to see that in terms of a dead or alive, or not alive,
that's
but
nice.
A dead,
I like that
one. So
that'd
yeah.
be awesome. Yeah, I'd like that. I'd watch a granddad too.
Yep, cool. Yeah, exactly. He's from Birmingham. He's got a great. He had a great accent as well. So,
if you can do music too, that'd be great.
I don't care about that. I don't want to see him on a ukulele or something.
he'll be a comedy music act. Well, look at, we got him working. I can't.
I'm just, you know, you don't know him obviously, because that would be strange if you did. But the thought of him doing music is no. He was very much a kind of, you know, straight up and down chap. And a wonderful man, but I can't ever imagine him just doing a song. Maybe, you know, when they sort of close out with like a really traditional song, like an Irish ballad or something, like that could happen. Who knows? But yeah. Cool. And tech-wise, I don't know what you'd watch that on. I'd watch that on anything if I had the chance to do that. So yeah, my phone just like pushed in front of my eyes, even without a headset on, I'd do that. Right, straight on to, well, the question. The next section is, what's going on?
Sheree, well, who did you? Won?
Oh, okay, fine, sorry. Me, because mine had pathos to it, pathos. So there you are. Unfortunately for the listeners, when you're judge and jury on these things, you get a lot of power. And in this case, I've exercised it fully for the wrong reasons. And I'm okay with that.
Wow. This is like being married. This is great.
Yeah, we've only met a couple of times, Mark, but already I feel like there's a real connection here, you know.
Oh, yeah, I feel
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can tell that, you know, one day we could marry, and I like that.
No, I just see you as an expense already. One day it'll just be like, oh, I went out and I bought this. Hope you don't mind. You know, and I'm just like, yeah, go ahead. Don't worry.
Cool. What kind of budget have I got?
Before
you get annoyed.
Hold on. Let me wake my missus up and ask her.
I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that.
I don't make budgets. I just let people do what they want.
Yeah, but like, there's got to be a point where it's like, I've spent $20,000. You're like, no, I'm pissed now. And like, you know, $200. You're like, I'm cool.
Then when you spend 20 grand, you've reached ex-wife level. That's what ex-wives do. You know.
Okay. Now I've been divorced from you. This has gone terribly. so The question of what's going on has never been more apt in this podcast. Cherie, do we have a jingle for what's going on yet in the same vein of unpopular opinion?
Not yet. Still working on it, because every time I hear that phrase, I want to go into Marvin Gaye, and I need to train myself out of it.
And then I want to go into Four Non Blondes in the UK with what's going on. It's a thing now, so we can't make that happen. Right, there's lots of things that have happened. Last week we talked about LG in this all-new section, but this week we've got more to look at. And in this case, it's the Apple event that we now have actually happening. It was previously dubbed as a leak because Siri was leaking it out to everybody by accident. If you said Apple event into your phone in certain countries, it was like, don't worry, the Apple event is coming up on April the 20th. That's now been confirmed. So, James Peckham, what can we expect from this event?
Yeah, so it's April 20th. That is next Tuesday. If you're listening to this, that's a couple of days' time, a bit longer. If you listen to this as soon as it comes out, we're expecting a whole host of gadgets. This isn't going to be their big iPhone launch. Instead, it's going to be the periphery gadgets, really. We're expecting iPads. We are almost certain there's going to be an iPad Pro 2021 coming at this event. Also, a few other small rumors suggesting there may be the iPad Mini 6. That is nowhere near as certain as the iPad Pro is.
Nah.
Let's see, though. It's been 2 years since the last iPad Mini, so it could end up happening. But obviously, it was 2019 was the last one, so it could well happen. If they don't announce it here, I don't imagine we're going to get one anytime this year, but let's find out. Unlikely to get a new iPad, the standard iPad or an iPad Air, so it's probably going to be mostly iPad Pro related. And there's this whole new rumor about the mini LED screen and some much better chipsets inside, so it could be a really big upgrade for the iPad. And then other things around the side, as always, whenever these Apple events happen, we are again talking about Apple AirTags. We will be talking about that until we die, because Apple will never announce these products. But some people are suggesting, some of the leakers are suggesting, we're going to see AirTags. Also, other rumors about a new Apple TV and potentially AirPods 3 as well. But again, it feels like that's the sort of thing we've been speaking about for forever, and we always predict AirPods 3. The only real certainty at the moment is the iPad Pro.
I like this rumor that you mentioned on there about this this combination of a TV and HomePod together, Apple TV HomePod. It's like this was recently pushed out by Bloomberg. It's an interesting rumor. Not only is there tipped to be, whether it's this event or in the future, an Apple TV HomePod combo, there's also apparently Apple is looking into the idea of putting an iPad-style screen on a speaker in a way to rival Amazon Echo and some of the Google products. One of the more out there things was an arm that attached to a speaker that would make the iPad follow you around the room. Again, in a similar way to the Amazon Echo Show 10. Weird from Apple, that would be, but you know, a robot arm is very different to just the things already creepily moving around the room to follow you. But apparently that works all right, according to our Carrie Skinner, our homes expert. But I feel like there is going to be something on the Apple TV HomePod world now, because this is the momentum Apple needs to keep up. Cherie, what about the Mac world? Do you think anything's coming computationally?
I would hope that we would see the MacBook Pro, the 16-inch MacBook Pro with the M1X chips, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think there's a chance that it might be announced. I doubt that there, due to the part shortage, I doubt that we'll be seeing it anytime soon. So we might hear about it. We won't be touching it for a long while to come.
And Mark, what's your thoughts on Apple in general? Like, what do you look forward to the most, if anything?
Honestly, I want to see what the mini LED screens look like. I want to see how these displays work. I think that's going to be fascinating. And sadly, like everything else in the last year, due to COVID, there's already rumors and leaks about the fact is, they're not going to be enough of them around. They're not able to manufacture enough of them, which we've seen with other technology, like with the Xbox release, you know, and even a PS5, that they're like, okay, we've got like 18 of them and we're sending them here. So I just think the thing is with Apple, since everything for them is proprietary, you know, and they have their own stores, you know, the limited amounts that are going out, you'll have a better way of tracking them. And I think that'll be helpful. But I think the mini LED screens is something I'm looking forward to seeing more than anything. I'm going to see how they change that technology.
And so for people that aren't aware, mini LED is basically, if you're familiar at all with display tech, you've got LCD, which is just, you know, the pixels then lit from something behind. That's how the iPads currently function. You've got OLED, which is what's used in the iPhones, which each pixel itself is emissive, so that each pixel is basically a dot of light. And then somewhere between the two of those is mini LED, where the diodes themselves light up and they're less than 0.2 millimeters thick, meaning you get a kind of that rich contrast, deep contrast display like an OLED, but not with the same level of technical difficulty. Can look a bit different and high quality as well. So yeah, I think that's going to be, not going down the OLED route for a panel is interesting from Apple, because that's something that, you know, Samsung's been doing, as we know, for its Galaxy tablets for a while. It looks great, it's a great tech, so trying something different is pretty cool. I mean, Pexi, what do you think? Is this something people are really going to notice, the difference between the tech, or is it going to be a key selling point?
I think it's something they make a big deal out of during the actual launch itself. Whether people will notice it when they're actually using the devices, we're going to have to wait and find out, really. I don't imagine that, you know, Apple's marketing, they're not going to be making that the big statement whenever you see an advert for iPad Pro on TV. Instead, they'll be focusing on if it does actually have any benefits to the user in that way, I'm sure. But I don't think the average person's really going to properly realize that. If you're a tech fan, you're going to be excited about it, but I'm not certain it's going to be their like game-changing element that they're going to push this on, if you see what I mean.
Well, we'll find out next week. As you mentioned, it could be, depending on when you listen to this, it could be yesterday, could be a couple of days from now. You know, just choose your flavor. But what we do know is that Apple events, you know, they used to be many years ago the most secretive things in the world. Leaks are now aplenty out there. And Cherie, I mean, you've been following the tech industry for a good long while. You're quite the expert. What do you think why do you think that it's sort of expanded in terms of leaking from Apple and, you know, more things coming out all the time?
More success, and you've got to bring in more people. And like, as much as Apple has retained an iron grip on most of its employees, every now and then you're going to have a slip, because like everybody wants to know about the new Apple product, whatever it is. If it's Apple, that people want to know. So, and then on top of that, with everything being made overseas, I think it's becoming harder and harder to keep things under wraps. So I know Apple is trying to institute some new, more harsher methods, tighter security to keep those leaks plugged. I don't know how successful they're going to be, but we'll see.
It was interesting with this Apple event because, you know, it was supposed to happen in March. And then just towards the end of March, it became the new rumor, the leak about the leaks, very meta, came out that leak was pushed out to try and spot who was leaking the leaks in the first leak. What did you think about that, Mark? Do you think Apple's now just on the hunt, or is it secretly part of a big dastardly plan to just get more column inches?
I think I counted 9 leaks right there. You just gave them all away. Here's the thing. I think
shit, it's me.
I think the other thing is what you got to look at as far as like Apple goes, and even Intel. Now they have what's the name of that company? The Taiwanese manufacturer of chips. It's TSMC. They're all having their chips built in this one location.
TSMC.
So I think you're going to see more leaks than less leaks, because, you know, you have all these people building in the same place, sharing information. You know, you might go to the bathroom and I'll be like, oh, hey, Gareth, how are you? You know, you standing. Now, what are you guys working on? Oh, we're working on this. Nothing special. You just share information, have a coffee, and just keep it moving. It's going to be really hard. I think the other thing is, I think that makers know that leaks actually help build excitement.
Well, yes, exactly.
And I just think, and I really think, like with this whole Siri thing, I totally think they planted that. They, you know, and it's cute. You know, it's clever, it's cute, and I think you may see more purposeful leaks just for that. It's just good PR, you know, and they have us little people with our little fat angry fingers waiting to type about it. So it's kind of like it all works out. It's a benefit for everybody.
Yeah, but then you're absolutely right. You know, and I've spoken to people high up in companies who talk about like this. You know, when they'll say off the record, like, no, this was a leak on purpose. This was by us, and like, no, this one wasn't us at all. But you know, there was equally a comment was maybe the iPhone 7 possibly, where accidentally the Apple Twitter pushed it out just before it came on stage. That wasn't on purpose. We know that front. There was somebody who was in trouble for that, and that's not really a leak. That's just more of a a slip. But
it was only 10 minutes early, but I really remember that happening of like, yeah, we us spotting a tweet 10 minutes early sort of thing. That was mind-blowing.
I was trying to live blog that at the same time, like listening to what was on stage, and you're like, look, put this tweet in. I'm like, can't, I'm melting already. The Wi-Fi's already patchy as it stands.
And I think it's really entertaining to like follow certain leakers and certain people online, because it just really adds to the I just think it makes users feel like they're in a spy movie, or
it's a soap opera.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera, and people get really caught into it. They follow like Love to Dream on Twitter or whatever, or you know, John Prosser, and you're just kind of like waiting, and you just, you know, you have them tagged in a thing and or in your feedly, and it pops up, and you get excited like a kid, you know, and you're like, oh my god, there's a new cartoon coming on this day. And I just think it gives you that kind of excitement if you're a tech person, you know, and I think we need that in the industry. We got, you know, it's an industry with a little, you know, with a splash of entertainment that gets people excited.
Yeah. I mean, we've been covering the leaks world for so long, and it is really difficult. You have to, the line between entertainment in the sense of like, it's just sometimes fun to sort of like discern good leaks from bad leaks and to discuss why this is believable and why this isn't, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're going to buy the phone or not, because you haven't bought it yet. So it's not like you're forcing someone to spend money they haven't done, which is obviously what we would never want to do. But getting someone hyped or not hyped or whatever is just like, you know, it's not part of the game, but it's part of the excitement of the whole thing. But how do you spot the difference between like, that actually seems genuine as a leak, and like, no, that's bullshit?
Oh.
Did you ask Cherie? Because she's got the best nose for it.
I think it takes context. Like I've worked in the industry for years now, and there's just for me, it's like looking at patents and trying to like, okay, does that make sense? Does this it's an art at this point, because at this point, like now, Apple is just expanding into so many things. Like, who knew that we would be getting an Apple car someday down the road, or that Apple actually would make something like the Pencil, or like be getting into AR and VR. So it's like, and then there's the Apple Vaporware that we keep talking about, because I do think the AirTags are going to turn out to be vaporware, but I mean, you know, until proven, they exist until they do not.
I mean, if Apple sort of showed off, but didn't launch the AirTags, but showed off a slide that by accident had them sitting on the AirPower charging mat and then just didn't say anything about it, it would be the biggest like in-joke Easter egg for tech journalists only that ever existed. What about the biggest leak that's maybe not Apple, although, you know, for me, the biggest leak is still the iPhone 4. But what was the biggest leak for you, Pexy, in your time that you've ever seen?
I didn't see that coming. But possibly
like a good leak.
Possibly that iPhone 7, the one that we were talking about. That obviously that's just coming to my mind immediately because of that. Yeah, we've seen some major smartphones just completely leaking. It's now becoming more regular that we see, like the Google Pixel 4, for example. We saw everything about that, literally every single element of that phone before it came out, and it was essentially a boring event because of it. When I first started doing this job as well, which is 7 or 8 years ago now, it was much.
Is it?
Well, when I became a tech journalist, but yeah. It was much more, you learned one or two things about a phone. Now we've pretty much got the entire picture of these sort of devices before they come out. We've not really ever seen that properly from Apple, apart from what you were just talking about with the iPhone 4 and that huge leak beforehand. But it's now more regular that we're, like, even talking yesterday, we're going to talk later about the Sony phones. But like every single spec of that phone leaked the day before it was announced. It's such a hard thing for manufacturers to get on top of now. It's more regular than not.
Let's just go straight into Sony. I feel like, and it's an interesting one about this, because I think, you know, for Cherie and Mark, Sony phones are still, what? You know, is that right? Are you still nonplussed about them both?
I mean, they don't come to America anymore. There used to be a time where we would get the Xperia phones and it would be a big deal. But now it's just like, oh, all right, I guess I'm not going
to. These are coming to America.
Oh, what? All right. I'm excited then. I didn't know that.
Now Cherie's ears have pricked up.
Why does Sony make a phone?
They actually used to make really good phones. Like, they made really good displays, and it was really about the camera. Like, they had some of the best cameras in the game at the time.
No.
It's just the... Ah,
Sorry, I shouldn't cut you off with that. It was just, I'm so upset by Sony's cameras because they made the technically best cameras. They would win like the shootouts for the best technical capabilities. They just could not make them take a good photo for the people who didn't care. If you twisted like 13 settings, you could get some stunning footage. Then you had the iPhone. It was like, I pressed the button, it took a really good photo that's not that far off. And that's where they fell. Sorry, Karen, I jumped in the way there, but it annoyed me and still annoys me.
I see. And they had their little funky design, but like they just couldn't. I think in America, what it was is they kept going with the wrong exclusivity partner. Like when everybody was going AT&T or Verizon, they were going Sprint or T-Mobile. And it was just like, no, Sony, no.
So it's a similar situation here. So the Xperia 1 3, the technical name is Sony Xperia 1 Mark 3. That phone is coming to the US, but it is only coming in a sub-6 5G capacity. So that means you're restricted with carriers. Cherie's immediately checking her head. Because there's no millimeter wave technology here, this was a major criticism of the Sony Xperia Mark II, and there's no change here on the Mark III, which is a problem for any phone manufacturer in the US if you're trying to release a phone in the US.
But Sony does still have globally, you know, we still see those huge spikes of interest when Sony does a new phone. It hasn't gone away, and in the UK they've still got a huge, well, waning, but still a big brand equity. Other parts of the world, they're still big fans, you know. I don't want to ask the question because it sounds boringly stereotypical, but is the 3 any chance of revival? You know, we've seen LG disappear from the industry. Is this a chance for Sony to diverge from that path?
No. No.
What is it? It's an Android phone, right? Basically.
Yeah.
So, basically, with LG obviously disappearing, you may get users that are interested now, because now they're, you know, LG is no longer going to be a thing. So nobody wants to buy an old LG phone unless it's one of those people that likes to collect things. And it's like, I'll hold on to this. And in 50 years, it may have retail value, you know, or resale value. But as far as like Sony reentering the market in a huge way, they would have to do something unprecedented, I think, with the camera, which, I mean, they are known for the cameras. So it could be that. Or with the screen, they would have to do something different. But, you know, with phones, it's hard. It's kind of like hoping Intel will make a chip that surprises us, you know.
Yeah, it's more of the same here from Sony again. If you enjoy your Sony smartphones, you're going to like this, but it's unlikely to grab anyone's main attention from the spec list alone. We've not tried out the phone yet, and we're not going to be able to use it for a while because this phone isn't coming out for at least another couple of months. Early summer is the
such
release.
Such a Sony thing. They do that. They've done that for years. Like, this phone's coming later and later and later. And then you'd have issues where, this is a long time ago, issues where the phone would be so pre-production that things would break. And then you'd be caught in a thing of like, well, do I say the camera didn't work? Which is unfair because it was, you know, it's too early for the, you know, the people that was there trying to demo it were like, okay, this isn't finished and stuff. And well, why are you showing it to us? But then equally to say this camera's bad is unfair because it would make people think that the event results going to be bad and we just don't know. So it was just put you in a real quandary of like how to fairly report on these kind of things. And right, that's always difficult. Did you guys in America have the Xperia mini phones before?
I can't remember.
they were like nearly a decade ago, but they were tiny. They were sort of like half the size of the palm of your hand. They were just a really small screen.
You should
Google these things because they were brilliant in their time. They were stupid, but at the same time amazing. And I loved them. And I'm sad that they aren't here, but then also they still make no sense. They had like little, every corner of the screen was like a little app folder because, you know, your finger could reach literally anywhere because they were the opposite of, you know, the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Right.
That's interesting. That is, but that sounds like an interesting thing. But that sounds like the type of a device that like a jogger would love. Something that they could still have a phone on them and it just fits anywhere. You know what I mean?
In your underpants. It genuinely would have been fine. You know.
Listen, if you're flirting, I don't want to. It's too early for me. I need more coffee.
Well, you've already divorced me, so ultimately I'm past this whole thing.
Well, you looked for it. You know, you kind of were digging a little too hard. That's what happens. I got to be a man. You know, I got to keep it moving.
I've put some pictures to show you both the Xperia Mini. Have a look and see your reactions.
I think I've seen that before. I think I do remember that.
There was this was early in my career. There was a time when I used to see how larger phone I could fit in my mouth, and this was right on the edge.
Oh, these are Ericsson phones. Oh.
Sony Ericsson.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Just the no.
So.
Yeah, this is very much not an audio feature of people just looking at things on Google Images. So I feel like we should move on with this. But fingers crossed for Sony, because I feel like the same way we were sad to see LG, the same way I still want HTC to come back, this is very much because I think that the real high for me tech-wise was when the smartphone world was Android versus Apple in a really chaotic, wild westy way, where now things are a bit more settled. I miss those days of like Sony, HTC, LG. I kind of think of who else would be coming around at that point, just
and
making things happen.
Fit in your mouth. I mean, yeah.
The Nokia 8210 would fit perfectly in your mouth, and if someone rang me while I was holding it in my mouth, would make my whole head buzz and like eyes just like vibrate. It was amazing, but very unsanitary.
We should revisit this with 2021 phones, where you're getting like 6.9-inch phones.
You know, we can find one of those phones that are like meant for senior citizens that are just like little foldy phones, and just stick one in your mouth and just keep calling you.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened before. So
this is going down a path that is
I feel like we're gonna need HR soon, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm okay with it, so there's no problem here. But equally, yeah, I think there's more medical issues right now, you know. But then again, we've got lots of sanitary equipment around these days, so who's got a problem? You know, I've got wipes within arm's reach at any given point in my life, so all good. Right, time for you, Mark, to step up once again. It's the Gadget Hall of Fame.
Oh, God.
The Gadget Hall of Fame, where we take a new guest, or a guest we haven't had for a while. Either way, Mark is new to this parish and we're very glad to have him, and they have to bring in a gadget that they think should be in the hallowed hall of fame, or whether it should go in the bin or the garbage dispenser with Matt Swider's Tech Radar headphones. So Mark, what are you bringing in, and why should it go in the hall of fame?
Oh my God, you know what, and I mentioned it to my the other day to a friend, the Commodore 64. The Commodore 64 was the greatest thing in the world. I knew people that committed crimes with these things. I mean, the Commodore.
How?
Because remember, it was
tapes.
Basically, no. Well, you had the tape drive originally. Then they had a 3.5 floppy thing. And by the way, the floppy drive for this thing was like a foot and a half long, like 9 inches thick. It was huge. So people started getting on the internet with them when the internet first started coming out.
They?
Yeah. And they had dial up and you could buy a modem for it. It was just so goofy. But I mean, it was the greatest. Like, you learned how to program in BASIC. I knew a guy who programmed his thing to emulate like receipts from companies. It was like this whole crazy thing. Yeah. Yeah, I knew some crazy people. And, kids from the ghetto who get their hands on technology are very clever. And especially if they're really smart. But there's just like all kinds of stuff like that you could do with the Commodore 64. Although, you know, I wasn't that deep into the programming part. My favorite part was I had a tape drive, like a cassette tape drive. And I'd have to wait an hour to upload my Bruce Lee game.
But yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it? You had to just put it in and then it spool for ages before you could play. So it was very much a kind of a long game of wanting to play on your Commodore. And then changing games.
Changing games was a no. And but the thing is, it was the place where, you know, I first started learning how to type and learning some code. And I just think it definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Did you have the model that had that was the keyboard and Commodore 64 together?
Yeah, it was just one whole, one device. It was just the keyboard. And the CPU was in there, and I don't believe they had a GPU. It was just it's just this thing. But it was great, you know, and it connected to your television. And, I think it was great. My dad made sure I had one, you know, and he worked, I don't know how many hours of overtime. And the worst part was I was getting it for Christmas, and he acted like, you know what, we can't afford that this year. So you're probably just going to get like
top parent move. Love it.
Yeah, just underwear and hope. All right, thanks a lot.
I'm still slightly confused by the we had a Nintendo 64 when I was younger. It was like I was getting a bit older, but it was the console I really wanted. And my friends were all definitely getting one, and I wasn't. getting one, basically. That was the thing, like, not happening, we can't afford it, blah, 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 whatever the reason was. And they all bought magazines, and I bought the magazine as well for the games, because I just wanted to keep up with my friends. I got in trouble for buying the magazine. It's like, it's, you know, you'll think, you'll make your sister think you're getting one, it's not okay. Then I got one. I was like, that was a good bait and switch. That was very clever.
That was excellent.
I thought, okay, I've gone too far now. I'm definitely not getting one. They played that well. Yeah. I was like, whoa, because they went for it.
Here's the thing. That's the whole role of, that's like the best part of being a parent, is torturing your kids. People think it's like, oh, it's sweet. No, it's just, we get a kick out of torturing you. It just really is. I still torture my kids as much as I can. You know?
All right.
Are we talking more about, you know, just telling them when they're young that the word for apple is actually the French word for police station or something? So
yeah, like that. You know, it's just goofy stuff like that. You know, I had my son convinced that I fought in Vietnam. Like, it was just, you know, and then he wrote a school report about how I fought in Vietnam, and I got called into school and was like, you didn't do that. And I was like, no, I didn't. But it was fun until this happened.
Well, I feel like it's more fun when they've fallen for it as well. You know, the joke has spread.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just an awful person. But that's what parents do, you know.
Okay. I had a Commodore 64 as well, but I got it massively out of sequence because it was one of the ones where someone was selling it at a jumble sale, like when I was much older. And it was just basically, they said, the Commodore 64 with the tape drive and, like, just an absolute bag of games. So just, I think, hundreds by that point.
Oh, wow,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, so you could just had so many things to try. And I had a mouse and Mario Paint for the first one, like really early doors, and, you know, the mouse, even then, like, that's before we had a computer, was amazing as well. So there's all these different things, like, you could just see these snapshots, and even smelt weirdly old, and it was just such a weird cultural thing, but I loved it as well. And it was,
you have a real visceral thing with smells, don't you?
I don't, but you know what I do?
You,
I
think,
yeah,
I definitely do. Why say ooh to it? It's a sense that we have. You're like, oh, you look at you looking at things. Ugh.
Not everything has to smell bad.
It smelled cultural. I didn't say it smelled bad.
What are you doing on Saturday? Oh, no, I'm going to read a book. Oh, what are you doing, Gareth? Oh, I'm going to go out and smell some stuff.
Yeah, I'm going outside and smelling the fresh air, I could say. You wouldn't think that's weird. If I said, like, nondescript things, sounds strange, but...
Well, that's why you add stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go outside and see some stuff. You're like... That's weird. What kind of stuff? If I say I'm going to go outside and look at the view, very different.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know I was going to have to defend this, but I'm now well behind it. smelling things is just as good as hearing them. That's what I say. I'm going to move on, though, because I feel like this could... If we use the email address that we had regularly, I think we get lots of emails, but luckily Sharista hasn't found the password for it, so we're safe there.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll get on that.
Yeah, it's going to be bursting to full. Like, you know, people trying to work out how to do noise cancelling with one or two L's at futurenet.com. Loads of that.
We can reboot it.
Yeah, I think we need to. It doesn't matter. Literally haven't looked in it yet, so that's good. Let's go on to the news blast before things get too bad. Mark, see you again. Now, tell the listeners what you said in the pre-production meeting.
I already figured out I'm going to fail this. So you're the champ.
That's not what you said.
That's not what I said, because I immediately thought, this is what I said. They said, oh, Gareth has done 14 in 60 seconds. And I'm like, I'm a fast talking New Yorker. I could do 15 in 60 seconds, which is what I said. And then last night I started looking it over, and I believe Matthew slipped in there. It's like, it's not just the headline. You got to give a blurb. And I was like, oh.
So the rules are that you can't read out from a script, so you can't just read out the headlines. You have to tell us the story in as quickly as you can while giving the gist without reading from a script. It's quite simple in its premise, but the thing that trips people up, and I'll be honest, Cherie's brilliant at doing this her own way, which is, I'm not going to do lots, I'm just going to give you a really nice story about each one and get quite a few in, you know, six or seven in, but you get a real good sense of it. So there's different ways of doing it. You know, I also hold the record for one. So either way, you can play this how you want to. But you have 60 seconds. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's have fun.
Yeah. Right. 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
There's a new blue Nintendo Switch Lite coming very soon. Nintendo revealed that there's a new Nintendo Switch Lite model. I don't even know why we need that, but it should be released sometime in May. Bridgerton season 2. Why the heck is this tech news? I don't know. I don't care. But it's the smash hit drama that's on Netflix. And they've been renewed for a second season. Nobody cares. DJI could be bringing a new drone tech to self-driving cars. That'll be fantastic. It was reported by a drone DJ. Potentially leaked promotional materials. Tech, you know, they have the sensors. It'll work. The Dune co-writer says the HBO Max movie will set up a sequel. Who cares? Those books came out 40-something years ago. You kids don't care. We're talking about, we want to know about Apple stuff. Microsoft Duo 2 could, what is this? More drop-proof with new hinge design. I don't even know why this is a thing. You know, Microsoft and this hinge, this has been an issue from day one. It should have been impact resistant from day two. All right. Bloodborne rumored to hit PS5, PC this year. This thing has been longer rumored than my ex-wife giving me money back. Let me tell you something. It's not going to happen, and people need to stop fantasizing. Samsung Galaxy time, Z Fold 3.
Time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, time went past about 10 seconds ago, but I realized that you, from the beginning where you're like, I'm going to try and do this, and then you just descended lovely, beautifully into just more of a stand-up set. Yeah, and I was like, I'm starting to enjoy this now. We're starting to get like side jokes in this.
But you know what the thing is? I really would. You're a genius. I'm giving you that. That's brilliant that you could get 14 out. I think if I really,
it's also my game, so the judging of it was very liberal.
Oh, wait a minute. See, nobody said this. So did you get an actual 14 out, or was it? Just
I got actual 14, but there was no one interrogating some of them. So you know.
So right. So it was because it was it like a Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 could get a smaller screen and battery. We'll find out in a few months. And then you just kept moving?
First of all, it would have been faster than that. And secondly, I would have given a tiny bit more info. But no, basically, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting.
But I did enjoy when you did the DJI section. You augmented that with some sounds. And I enjoyed that greatly.
Sound effects sell everything.
Yeah, true.
If I would have added a smell, I would have had your heart.
No, you would. Yeah. What would they all smell like? Separate question.
The smell blast.
Yeah. Coffee breath and hope.
Ew.
In my very first job as a journalist, that was a lot of it was phone based. I had a phone that did really smell strange. Like it was like had a real like someone else had breathed into this phone for many years, and like it really coloured the first two or three interviews I did because it's sort of like they felt like ethereally lost in like a village hall somewhere.
You're hilarious. I had a phone like that at a job. I did telemarketing once, and I had the second shift, and I would come in and immediately Lysol that phone because I made the mistake of one time getting on their phone without Lysol and wiping it down, and it smelled like hatred. It was just awful.
Oh,
I think that was the problem. I think it was the cleaning product combined with years of spittle that made it so, like I said, just so visceral as a smell.
Ew.
It was, but I was just, my first job in journalism. It felt really grandiose and like there was some ceremony to it. Like that's what it was about. It was like the equivalent of today's equivalent of cigar smoke from the editor's room, from the 1960s, that kind of thing.
But cigars smell great.
No, they don't, Cherie. They smell horrible.
No, you're a liar.
I am. That's true. You're right. Yeah, but I did go into a cigar club once, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. So
slice.
It was. Honestly,
what's wrong with cigar bars?
Because there's so much smoke everywhere, it's hard to breathe.
What?
Anyway, this is Mark asked a question earlier of like, how is this tech? This is not. But then again, I talked about smells a lot. So you got 7 through, pretty good.
Yeah,
6.
Not bad.
Yeah, and if there was an entertainment version of this, like you and Cherie be duking out the top because I was into that.
I like how you didn't care about any of the stories. It was great.
Yeah, that got better and better and better. So thank you for that. Yeah, the fact that like kids, they don't understand this stuff. They just want their fancy Tamagotchis and such. And yeah,
oh yeah,
that's what they do now. We've just got time before we finish for one more news story. So Cherie, which one's it going to be? Is it going to be Surface Laptop 4 or Oculus Gaming Showcase? You get the choice.
I guess we're going to talk about the Surface 4.
Go for it. I'm going to eat a pear.
It's here. Theoretically, theoretically, my writer should have it by now, and we should be touching it and posting up hands-on soon. Basically, it is a refresh of the Surface Laptop 3, but with beefier specs. So far, early reviews are saying, well, early hands on, because I doubt anyone could put out something and say that it's an actual review if they just got it. But, you know, people have done the schmarmier things. But the benchmarking that is coming out so far is saying that it is a significant jump from last year's, well, I can't even remember when the last one came out, but from the last system. So I am excited about that. It's always good to have a stronger, more powerful laptop. I'm really excited to see how the battery life is going to roll this time around, because that's always a big thing. I think they're claiming all day battery life. I doubt that's going to happen. If we could clear 10 hours, I'll be happy. I'd be even more ecstatic if it could hit 12. But stay tuned to Laptop Mag, and I'm assuming Tech Radar will also be reviewing the Surface Laptop 4 once we get it or get our grubby little paws on it.
Nah.
Oh, you're not?
No, we're just going to start sketching devices we want to see instead. It's a new review format we're trying.
Oh. Oh. All right. But
and describe how they smell.
Oh.
This week I smelled several Surface laptops. You'll be surprised at the results.
Yeah. Which would genuinely read that feature.
I like it. No.
It's just so creepy, but I love it. I don't know why.
Why is smell?
But it's a bookstore. Like, yeah, I can get all into that. Like, that new book smell is amazing. I'm just
defending smell as a sense. That's what's happened here. Like, yeah, I'm not saying like, what you're smelling.
When it comes to tech, there's just things I don't want to smell it. Like smelling tech means one of two things. It's defective and about to blow up in your face.
Love it.
There's something wrong. You should not be smelling tech. Like it should not have a smell. Like I think of burning and I think of pennies. And when I think of pennies, I think of like 9-volt, that 9-volt battery thing. No, I don't want to smell any of that.
I am going to counter that. New tech smell, opening a box of something new is a great smell.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
The box smells great, but the tech itself.
Oh, so smelling a box isn't weird, but smelling tech is fine. Okay, fine. Okay, I get it.
Like, you're not going to win this. It's weird, my dude. It's weird.
I think we should do a thing where we blindfold Gareth.
Yeah.
And we just and we blindfold him. We have his hands tied to a chair, and we just pass.
Wait, where's this going?
Okay, we just pass because you're not allowed to touch, and we just pass tech under his nose. And we're like, smell this. And he smells it and he has to guess what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would just be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. These headphones, this iPhone. Yeah. Lots of things aren't smelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been
We'll figure it out. We'll make it work.
I feel like it'd just be like, have you done it over and over again? So,
yeah. No, because it didn't have a smell.
Yeah. It doesn't. But okay, fine. Whatever. I don't know why I'm defending something I don't care about.
Doesn't like, the phone smell different than a Samsung Galaxy?
No, yet? It doesn't. It genuinely doesn't. Go. Yeah, phones all smell the same. That's just a fact. they smell of nothing. They just smell of nothing. Taste-wise, that's a whole different thing, but no one's talking about that, so that's fine.
What? Oh, my God. Help. Help, Jesus. Help. Or whatever deity you pray to, even if it's the nothingless void.
We've got to leave, so I don't want to get into the whole idea of things, but different materials taste of different stuff, so different phones would taste differently. That's the end of it. Right, we've got no more time anymore. What a shame. Cherie, I think I ask you this every week, Cherie. Have you had a good time? I think for the first time you're going to say something different.
I'm a little squicked out. It was an interesting ride, though. Like, I still had a good time, I think. Yeah, sure, I had a good time.
I really wish that you know the listeners could see the background that you have for your in your study, because it's just the things behind you are amazing. What's the number one thing that you would point to out of all that stuff so people can get a flavor of what's there?
Well, because I've never gotten to enter something into the Hall of Fame. I have a Zune HD on the stand. I have a bunch
Where's
of
that?
Matter of fact, it's you know what? You can't see it. It's behind my neon Evangelion statuette. I would point to Tigra, Tigra figurine. I also have a Ryu figurine up there. I have Cap looking all majestic and several print copies of Laptop Mag from when we were a actual print magazine, and a couple of awards from CES and other things I've earned throughout the years. It's like a monument to my geeky loves.
And Furbies.
And Furbies. There's a wall of like Furbies.
Nothing creepy about that.
No, that's fine.
You should have Gareth come over to smell them. It'd be great. Magic.
Oh.
I don't want to do that.
The fur would definitely have a smell, Gareth.
Oh, I'm not into smells. I just think it's a valid sense. That's all. Anyway, Pexy, have you had a good time?
Yeah, it's since I've known you, you've always been into smelling things. So I'm glad.
Wow.
I'm glad that you've. I'm glad that you've. You've died on this hill, essentially. I've had a great time. Thanks.
Yeah. So one sec, Sheree. How can people get hold of you? We've got that part in the whole chat about the things behind you.
People can get in contact with me on Twitter or Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is MISS Smith 11. And of course, if you want to read about tech that you will not be smelling, you should come to Laptop Mag, where we talk about, of course, laptops, tablets, VR, headphones, and everything in between. If it is mobile, we will cover it.
Caravans.
There was a time when we were doing car tech, and it was a glorious time. I got Bentley to give us a Continental GT for review. It was amazing.
We need to do that again.
We do need to do that again. But as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
Pexy, how can people get in contact with you?
I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter, and come read about phones on Tech Radar, please.
I've Mark activated one of the Furbies.
What?
With my voice.
It has. It's never gone off before.
It's amazing. The Furby just came to life. It was like, talking about me, are we? You can find me at Mark A. Ramirez on Twitter. If you just Google me, you'll find Mark. Just Google Mark Anthony Ramirez. I pop up. It's awful. You can find me definitely at laptopmag.com, where I'll be writing about whatever they tell me to write about. Like I said, Google me. I have a website, markanthonyramirez.com. But find me at Laptop. That's where I'm having my most fun.
Good. And as I mentioned already, I am Gareth Beavis. You can find me fairly irregularly tweeting on SuperBeav. But the main place to go and get your social media tech nonsense is Tech Radar. Just Tech Radar. At Tech Radar, you'll find it. I'm still really confused by the Furby situation. We've been doing this podcast a while. It's never activated, and it's just lit up for the first time. Is it even plugged in or battery?
That's it's battery operated, and I thought the batteries were dead. So
of course, because you haven't touched it for years, surely.
For it to react to my voice, I'm a little creeped out, and
I genuinely am.
It's gonna be a furry hand.
If I don't make it out of here, tell my mama I love her. And I'll
tell her that you were killed by a Furby. That's the first thing.
And wish my dad happy birthday, because today is his birthday. Happy 61.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Mr. Smith.
Happy birthday, sir. Right, well, that's everything for this week's episode 60 of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, where you can, give us a review and rate us 5 stars. That helps people find out about this lovely tech podcast. I'm really enjoying the new format we're working on here. So if you did enjoy it as well, please tell your friends that, you know, under new management, even though it's the same but with a different format, let everyone know. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. Bye.
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 Bye. Right. Yeah, no, I'm gonna go check that Furby out right now, because that shit freaked me the fuck out.
That was weird. Like,
that was really weird.
I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna die.